Lord God, let the words of my mouth, O Lord, and the dedication of each of our hearts, O Lord, let it be acceptable this day in thy sight. In this moment, Lord, I ask you to reduce me, to cleanse me, wash me, O God, of all of those things that have been pondering through my heart and mind this week, that what is said this moment might be the very things you want and desire to be heard. So this day I come before myself and you, O God, between these, your people, O God, and I come, O God, as your humble servant. So enter into this space, O God, and make it whole. Amen. When I came across this passage of scripture, I could not help but be brought back to the street preachers that I kind of knew back in the day. You know, back when I was growing up in the 60s and 70s, it was not uncommon for you to go someplace, and particularly in the town, in our little town in Benton Harbor, or even in the big city. And there you would find a street preacher, someone who is standing on the corner, delivering a word of thus saith the Lord. And then they would always have a specific message in which they were trying to convey. Someone might be, their message might be, Jesus saves. And that's their whole message, is that Jesus saves. And then I came across this story this week, and it just stuck. It says, in the days when street preachers were a common sight in New York City, a man named Charlie King could sometimes be seen running around his hat, which was placed on a street corner near Times Square. And he would be shouting, "It's alive! It's alive!" And when a crowd gathered, he would pick up his hat, and under which was a Bible, from which he would proceed to preach the gospel. And I might say that for Charlie, that is a very true statement. For indeed, the Bible is a living, breathing document. But how would he get your attention? He would run around his hat and say, "It's alive." And you were always wondering what was under that hat. You wanted to know what was so alive that he was running around it. And I could just imagine all sorts of animals and thoughts that you and I would have had we been there. In essence, what he had was his Bible. That, in essence, was how he drew your attention. Because street preachers in that day and time also needed to draw your attention. I don't know if you've seen any of the, there's been a group that I've seen here in Chicago that tends to stand on the street corner. They got nothing down with the street preachers of old. Because the street preachers of old would draw you in. You wouldn't walk by and just go. You would be stopped and you'd be amazed at what is it that this person has to say. Whether you were a believer or not, somehow that preacher would draw you in with whatever the phraseology for the day was. And then we come to this passage of text. This passage of text where we are listening and hearing from John the Baptist. And what is his phrase? What is his word? What is he trying to say? The word he is using repeatedly is repent. He's asking those within the sound of his voice to repent. Now, I want to be very clear. This repent is not like, "Well, I'm sorry for what I've done. I won't do it again." No. This repent in this context for John the Baptist is that you literally turn your life around, that you let go of the things you used to do, that you don't go to the places you used to go. You don't say the things that you used to say. You don't do it on Sunday, and then on Monday, you write back to what you used to do. You don't do it on Sunday and Monday, and then on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, boy, you are a mess. Why? Because you reverted back to the old behaviors and the old habits. John's only mantra is repent. But think about this. John says repent. Turn your life around. And where is he doing this? He's doing it in the wilderness. John is not doing it on the city square. He's not doing it on the tallest mountain. He's doing it down in the wilderness, a wilderness that has a stream of water flowing through. And he is asking them to repent. And here's what's unique about what John is doing. John is drawing people from the city to come out to the wilderness to see what is this man doing. John is not standing on Times Square. He's not down on Michigan Avenue doing near the Magnificent Mile. He's not standing on Hollywood Boulevard in Los Angeles. He's not on Peachtree Street in Atlanta. No, he is standing in the wilderness, in an outer place. Now, the truth of the matter is, he's standing there because his message would not be accepted in the city. In this day and time, he didn't have freedom of speech and freedom of religion to go into the city because his message was contrary to that of the Sadducees and the Pharisees, who he would not be allowed to stand in the city. So he's gone to the only place where he could at least espouse his message. He's in the wilderness saying to those, repent. Repent, turn around, change from who you have been and what you have been doing. And it's a message that becomes so profound that people are walking out of the city in order to come and hear what he's got to say. But they're not just hearing what he's got to say. They are entering to the water of the rivers of the Jordan, and they're being baptized, washed away from that past of their lives into something that is new in Christ Jesus. And then we hear the description of John. John wasn't wearing the clothes of the rich. John wasn't wearing the clothes of the middle class. John was wearing the clothes of the poor. He was not wearing a three-piece suit with shiny shoes. John's message of repent comes from a man who is wearing a cloth of camel's hair. He is wearing some sort of a leather belt around his waist, which was not the common thing. It was one of the poor to be wearing that. And the food he ate of locusts and honey, that was the poor people's food. It wouldn't have been something that someone who had a lot or had some that they would eat. It was not a middle class diet. It was not a rich diet. It was a poor people's diet. And here is John out in the wilderness, away from the city. And what is his message in the dress that he has? Repent. Repent. Turn around from where you have been. Turn around from what you have been doing. And notice when he says the word repent, he doesn't list off what you need to repent from. I love that. Because you know what? John is saying, I don't know, but God does. I don't know what you need to change, what you need to alter. I don't know how you need to rearrange your life, but God does. You know what you need to repent for and what you need to repent of. So I'm just simply going to speak what God has placed in my heart. And God is saying to me to tell you that you need to repent. So much so is John's message that our Bible tells us that the Sadducees and the Pharisees began to gather together, and they were like, we better go hear this guy. We better go out and see what's going on with him. We want to know what is he saying that people are leaving to go out of Jerusalem, to go into the wilderness, to be around this man. It's not safe to be out there. But here, John is preaching this word or speaking this word, and people are going out there. We need to know, what does he say? What does he got? What is he wearing that he's drawing these people out there? And all he has, my sisters and brothers, is the word of God which is placed on his heart. All he has is a commission of Jesus that is within his spirit. All he has is what he has. The clothes he has on are not fancy. The sandals on his feet are not magnificent. The food he eats is not the best in the house. But what he does have is so magnificently great that when he simply says the word repent, that it will draw all peoples unto him. It doesn't matter who you are and where you've been. Repent is a message that will draw all people to come to him. Even the high priestess, even the Sadducees and the Pharisees, those who had control, those who had power, those who were, in essence, the middle class, they would come out to hear this message. And what does John say to them? John says the same thing to them. He doesn't have a different message because you're rich or because you're poor or because you're black or white or because you're gay or straight. John has the same message for all of God's people. So when they come out, he says to them, repent, you brood of vipers. Now why? Because what are they doing? They are saying that only a select few can get in, and they're saying that you have to do certain rules and certain behaviors in order that they might say you might be allowed to be in the temple. They are treating God as if they have a monopoly and a control. And so what is John the Baptist tell them? You don't got this. You brood of vipers, you snakes, you cheats. You abusers of God's people. He is calling them out. You need to repent too. Just because you're sitting in God's house don't mean you got it all together. Look out, and I didn't get an amen on that one. Just because we're sitting in the church don't mean we don't need to repent of something or to someone. I'm saying it out loud because I know I've had to repent myself. Repenting is a good thing. Being able to turn your life around from whence you have come and what you have done. And sometimes this repent is not some great grand thing. I'm not talking about repenting just because you might have hurt someone by murder or killing or stealing. But sometimes, my friend, envy and jealousy is just as dangerous. Sometimes gossip is just as bad. You and I sometimes need to repent just because we look on our neighbors differently than we ought to. Just because we see someone homeless on the street and we just drive on by. Sometimes we need to repent because we didn't take that moment when we saw someone who wasn't like us, who didn't talk like us, who didn't act like us, that we didn't take that moment to say, God, you bless them. God, you anoint them. God, you touched him, and God touched me that I might be a better person when I see them again. Oh, sometimes we need to repent. This is John's message in the Advent season of Christ's coming. This is the message that John is telling those who would be in the sound of his voice. And his voice was so loud in this moment that people would come from miles around to hear this single message. Repent. As my old preacher used to say, repent and be saved. Repent and be healed. Repent and receive God's grace. Repent and your life will not be the way it was. But I do want you to note that what John is also saying and what this message is saying, there is an action that you and I have to take. It's one thing to say I'm sorry.